Amen. Now in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof." And it's going to cost him a whole lot more than he thought. The fare is going to be bigger than he ever imagined that it would be. But he paid the fare thereof, the Bible says, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Please be seated. Now I want to preach on this subject, as I said, about situations and how God's people can get into situations. I mean, lost people, those who aren't God's children, can get into situations. They don't know why they're in there. They wonder when they'll ever get out. But we're talking about God's own people. If you're saved, we're talking about God's own people here, like Jonah, getting into situations that are not pleasant to them. And they don't know when they're going to get out of them. I wonder, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I wonder if anybody's got a situation right now. I'm guessing there's probably several that do. You've got a situation in your life, and you wonder how long you're going to be in that situation. It could involve any number of things. Now, we're looking at this man, Jonah. And the Bible tells us a little bit about him, and tells us in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, that Jonah was a man who came from a place called Gath-Hepher of Galilee. And when he was ministering, it was during the reign of King Jeroboam II. And his particular calling then was to bring a message of comfort to the country of Israel. This book is among the rest of the prophetical books the minor prophets, they're called, but there's really only one line of prophecy in the book. And that's the prophecy that you read in chapter 3 and in verse 4. The Bible says, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed." That was a prediction. That's what God said. This is what's going to happen. In 40 days, this great city of Nineveh, and I wish I had time to describe it because it was one of the greatest of all of the ancient cities. It was a tremendously dynamic city in the pagan world, filled with some of the most cruel people that ever walked the earth, some of the lowest living people that there were, populated Nineveh, city of pagans, a vast, large, powerful, influential city. And God said of that city, in 40 days, it's just going to be destroyed. It'll be annihilated. Now, that's a prophecy, but then there's something else. Jesus referred to the book of Jonah. A lot of people, a lot of so-called Bible scholars and higher critics, I call them lower crickets, they find question with a lot of things in the Bible. Have you ever heard this? And they'll question the book of Jonah. Did those things really happen? Did Jonah really get swallowed by a whale? Well, it's in the Bible. Some people say that book shouldn't even be in the Bible. Well, Jesus thought it should be in the Bible. Jesus referred to it in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12 and in verse 40. He said, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. So that's enough for me that the Lord Jesus recognized the credibility of the book of Jonah and everything that's in it. And by the way, I'm kind of like the old preacher that said, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. It's in the Bible. By the way, if man, think about it. People say, how could a great fish swallow a man and he remain alive for all those days that he did? 3-4 days. Well, if man can build a submarine that can keep people alive for months and months and months and months and months, don't you think the Creator of the heaven and earth can create a fish for any purpose that He wants to? But I want you to follow along with me and see that just by way of background, what we're told in chapter 1. First thing we're told about is Jonah's summons. Now listen very carefully, beloved. Jonah's summons. The Bible says that God spoke to Jonah and says two things about that. Number one, God had a place for Jonah to be. That's a very simple sermon, but it's meant to be simple because we need to learn from it. God had a place for this child of God, this preacher in this instance, to be. In verse 2, he said, God said to him, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." God had a place for him to be. Now, beloved, don't you know that God has a place for you to be? Not only that, but God had a purpose for Jonah's life. He had a purpose for him right here. You see it in verse 2. God said, "I want you to go to this place, Nineveh. Here's what I want you to do. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now here's the bottom line on this. God reveals His will to us. God reveals His will. He revealed His will to Jonah. God has revealed His will to us in the Word of God. He reveals His will to us through the Holy Spirit, who never does anything in conflict with the will of God. But the Holy Spirit of God will impress us and move us and guide us and direct us. And God will speak to us through His Holy Spirit. So Jonah received a summons from God. But now look at this. Now I hope it doesn't sound familiar to you, but it'd be all too familiar for many Christian people today. The next thing the Bible tells us is about Jonah's stubbornness. Now God Almighty spoke to him in plain words and told him where he wanted him to be and what he wanted him to do. And it's almost astounding. It takes you aback when you look at verse 3. Right after that, the Bible says, But Jonah. Is that not the way it is sometimes in a Christian's life? God says one thing, but John, but Joe, but Mary, but Sarah, whatever. Here's what Jonah did. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. There's his flight. He decided to flee. The Bible is telling us there. And this phrase always stands out to me. He's on his way, goes down to the wharf, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, the opposite direction where God sent him. And he paid the fare thereof. See, a lot of people resist what God is saying to them, how he's moving them, the direction that God has given, and they look for another route to take. And believe me, there is a price to pay when you or I do that. There's a fare that's going to be paid. And as I said earlier, Jonah had no idea how great the cost of his stubbornness was going to be when he tried to flee. But let me add this thought to his stubbornness. Not only his flight that you see there, he's trying to run from God. But the second thing I want you to think about that is his foolishness. How foolish for a person to think that they can run from God, that they can hide from God. See, people have all kinds of ways that they try to run from God's will for their life. Now just let me say this real quick. There might be somebody here that's unsaved. You may be lost. You've never been born again. We're talking about confusion in the religious world this morning in Sunday school. I want to encourage everybody to come to the Sunday school hour and get these lessons on 2 Peter. If I were a millionaire, I'd pay you to come for your sake, if you possibly can. Somebody brought out there is so much confusion in the religious world among people. And a lot of people are confused about salvation. You don't need to be confused. The number one thing is you need to be saved. You're lost, you're blind, and you're dead in trespasses and sin. Everybody is when they come into the world. And you've got to be saved before you die. Don't try to run into some hiding place and stick your head in the sand. Try to hide from that. That fact, you need to be saved. Here's the second thing. Jesus died for your sin. And there's no way to be saved except to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, turning from your way to His way. There's no way, other way to be saved. Don't try to hide from that. Don't try to run away from that. I told you about the time I was in Valley Park back when I was like 23 years old and I was witnessing to a guy at his front door. I stopped by to talk to him, and he came to the door. We chit-chatted for a couple of minutes. And I said, do you ever think about spiritual things? This is what he did. I kid you not. I'll never forget it. Took both forefingers and stuck them in his ears. Here I am, a young guy. I'm standing there. I'd never seen that before. I just went ahead with the plan of salvation. He's pressing his fingers further into his ears. When I got done, he could see I was finished. He pulled his fingers out of his ears, and I was astounded. I said, why did you do that? I can't quote him verbatim, but it went like this. Well, I just figure if I don't hear it, I won't be held accountable for it. Listen, friend, when it comes to salvation, don't try to run away from God. Run to Him as fast as you can. Run to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about running to any baptistry. Water does not save. You're not going to be saved in a baptistry. You're going to be saved when you get into Christ Jesus. And that'll happen when you come and you call upon His name and ask for His salvation, which is a gift that He is ready to give to you. Amen. Don't run away from the fact that you're lost and God has a wonderful plan of salvation for you. A lot of people are running. If you're lost, don't run any longer except to Jesus Christ. Just come running to Him and He'll save you. Now, Jonah, a child of God, is on the run. He thought he could run away from God. But look at that. See, verse 3 begins like this. But Jonah. But then verse 4 begins like this. But the Lord. You can't run away from God. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The psalmist said this. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't get away. God is... One of the old songwriters said, you can turn your back on God, but He will still be there. Read Psalm 139 in its entirety. You can't run away from God. Let me tell you this. If you're stubborn as a Christian and God has summoned you to something, He's given you direction about something, and you're running from it, it's not going to work out well for you. It doesn't work out well. You see this? God sent a storm. We see the sailors throwing Him into the sea. We saw what happened after that. You know what happened after that? What happened after the summons, after the stubbornness expressed itself? What happens next is Jonah finds himself in a situation he wasn't expecting. Because the Bible says God had something prepared for him in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared, note that word prepared, God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Amen. Now he's really found himself in a situation. God put him in a particular situation. And one that God had prepared for. And that's what you got to remember that throughout the rest of the message. God prepared this situation. I think nine people out of ten, if I was guessing, I'd guess nine people out of ten got this, so much of this completely wrong. And what they think about why this happened to Jonah. But here's the good news. Jonah found himself in a prepared situation. I mean, it's not a pleasant situation. He's in the belly of a great fish. He's in a storm, then he's thrown into the sea, then he's swallowed up by a great fish that God had prepared. But here's the good news. You might be in a situation that's come about because you've been running from God, trying to ignore God's will and God's direction. And you're in a situation, but here is the good news. It wasn't permanent. Amen. But I'm telling you, I like that. Because I've been in situations myself. There have been a time or two that I have found myself put in a situation. And it wasn't pleasant. But it wasn't permanent. Amen. That's the good news. See, there's more good news this message for you than you might suspect here at the beginning of it. So, he found himself in a tight situation. Don't raise your hands. You can wink if you want to. But he found himself in a tight situation, but it was only temporary. Amen. It's good news for people who are in a fix. You're in a tight place because of stubbornness and disobedience to God as one of his children. He found himself, just like God's children can, he found himself in a dark place, an uncomfortable situation. Now, here's the big question. And this is the jumping off place for the whole message. How long is he going to have to stay there? Just by way of clarification, let me put it this way. How long will it be? What is it going to take for God to get him out of there? I think there are Christians today who are thinking, how long is it going to be? What is it going to take for God to get me out of here? Amen. I've been here so long. It's so dark. I'm miserable. What is it going to take for God to get me out of here? Well, there's some real answers here. In fact, there's three things that I want to bring out. Three things that it takes for God to know, okay, it's time for you to come on out. You know, when I was growing up, living with my grandparents, my grandmother had one of these old cook stoves. She had two stoves. She had one that ran off of gas. She hardly ever used that. And then she had a wood cook stove. And then she cooked nearly everything on that wood cook stove. Neither one of those stoves had what everybody's familiar with today, and that is a big pane of glass in the oven door. If my grandmother wanted to look in there and see if something was done or how far along it was, she had to open the door. She couldn't look through the glass. There's different things. Now, I like to cook once in a while. I'm not a great cook. I don't let my wife know what a good cook I am, so I can keep doing what I've been doing now for all these years. But you can look through the glass of a stove, whether you got a pizza in there or a pie or whatever, and by looking in, you can see whether or not it's ready to come out. Is that not right, ladies? I mean, sometimes if it's bubbling a certain way, you know, it's ready to come out. If its color has changed to a certain shade of brown, you know it's ready to come out. Now, when God looked at Jonah, and he's omniscient. He sees all everywhere. God has his own porthole into our lives. And when God looked into that whale's belly and saw Jonah, what would God have to see before he would know that Jonah was done? When God looks at us in whatever particular situation somebody might be in, what does God have to see that we're done and it's okay for us to come out? Well, when God looked at Jonah, this is what he was looking for, and explains his being able to come out. That's why he sent Jonah to Whale University in the first place. Amen. That's why he sent him there. He had to learn some things. Put him in that situation. And God put him in there. And God kept an eye on him until he saw that Jonah was ready to get out. Now, if you're in a situation where you don't want to be, it ought to be interesting to you to know what needs to happen to you before your situation can change. What needs to happen before that situation can change? Well, it changed for Jonah. And it changed, number one, when God saw. And if you want your situation to change, if you want to get out from where you are in it, well, here's what God needs to see. He needs to see what he saw about Jonah. He saw that Jonah, number one, it's all right here in the text. He saw that Jonah was ready to pray like he ought to pray. Now, when I was started reading, I didn't read more than three or four verses, and we found out this. God told Jonah something. Jonah made a decision without any prayer whatsoever in that decision. Have you ever made a decision you didn't pray about it? You said maybe it was a decision to buy a car, to move somewhere, to do this or do that. So you didn't pray about it at all, and things didn't work out well. And you got yourself in a fix because you did not pray about what the decision you were going to make and did make, and found yourself in a situation because you didn't pray. Well, the first thing that you see here that made a big change for Jonah is when God saw that he was ready to pray like he ought to pray. He has to see some changes in Jonah where his prayers are concerned before he's going to be ready to take him out and change his situation. Now, God knew Jonah had neglected. What had he neglected? Well, he made a decision without praying about it, and he got into trouble, just like Christian people can do. God knew what he neglected. God knows what our prayer lives are like. He knows if we pray about decisions. He knows. And I'll just tell you, beloved, anybody here that's in it, call it what you want to, a situation, a fix, a pickle, a bind, a tight place, whatever. You're probably there because you didn't pray about a decision that you made. And you'd like that situation to change. Well, God knew what Jonah needed. He needed, listen to this, he needed to be put through some things. He needed to be put into a situation where he'd learn to pray. That's what's happening here. So here's what God did. Soon as Jonah took off following his own decision, God let a big storm blow up. God allowed him to be cast into the sea. You ever had any storms in your life? You ever felt like you're out of the boat and overboard? And God let him be swallowed by a great fish. Now sometimes, listen, beloved, sometimes, I'm going to be real down to earth now. Sometimes we have to have some hurt put on us before we'll do what's good for us to do. Anybody that's raised children knows that. Sometimes children don't want to do what they're supposed to do, what's good for them to do. You got to put some hurt on them so they'll do what is good for them, what's going to help them. And this is what God is doing here with Jonah, to get him to do what's good for him. You know what's first on the list? To get him to pray like he ought to pray. His situation's not going to change until his prayer life changes. Now, beloved, this is the way it is. All three of these things. People are in situations, they want their situation to change. But here's the news. Your situation is not going to change until you change. Amen. That's the way so much of this is. So Jonah went through a storm, got thrown out of the boat, swallowed up by a great fish. And look at chapter 2, verse 1. Look at the first word. Then, not until then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's body. Now I learned something that I had never known before about this passage. And it concerns this fish and the word that's translated fish. It's translated from two different genders. When you look at it, up here in chapter 1 and verse 17, it's translated the word fish in the masculine gender. In other words, it was a boy fish, a male fish. And the word belly for a male fish is always associated with the digestive system. They're two different words. There's a reason for that. Now, the higher critics and the lower crickets, they say, oh, yeah, we see those two differences in the word, and that just goes to show that the Bible's full of errors. It's not full of errors. There's not one in it. This is the wonder of God in getting this message across. The word fish, the first time up, when we're shown, it's swallowing Jonah, is in the masculine gender, which means its belly is always in that context associated with the digestive system, which is for what? To break down, to destroy, to eat up, to dissipate, and eliminate. But then when you get down to chapter 2 and verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That's all of a sudden it's in the female gender. And always in the Hebrew, that's associated, when it's like that, the belly is recognized in terms of the reproductive system. In other words, it's associated with building up and developing and delivering. I'm telling you, the news gets better and better for people who are in situations similar to what Jonah's in here. What he's learning, chapter 1, verse 17, fish, male, belly, digestive, eat up, break down, eliminate. Versus chapter 2, verse 1, gender changes, feminine, reproductive, developed, delivered. What he's learning is that prayer changes things. All you got to do is look at the last verse of chapter 1 and the first verse of chapter 2 and see that Jonah's situation, that fish, is changing. Now, when you look at this, remember that prayer changes things. Prayer will turn a situation that's breaking you down. And I can't believe there's not somebody in here this wouldn't apply to. There's some situation, not maybe the whole gamut of your life, but there's some situation, and it's breaking you down, and it's eating you up, and that can all be changed. It can be changed into a situation where instead of just sitting still, you'll be set free. And instead of being broken down, I mean, you might be in something right now that's killing you, a situation, but you can get into one that will restore you. Amen. And there are many, many good Christians who've gotten themselves in a situation. This is not their regular mode of life, but they, in some area, disobeyed God, and they're running from God and got themselves in a place, in a situation they can't seem to get out of. How long is God going to keep me here? What's it going to take for me to get out of this place? So the first thing God saw when he looked in at Jonah was that he was ready to pray like he ought to pray. There he is in verse 1. Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. I want you to
I want you to see something else. God saw, he's just about ready to come out. God saw that he had learned how to pray or praise God the way God wants to be praised. It's a threefold formula. Now look at this. God was going to have to be able to see some changes in Jonah where praise was concerned before he'd be ready to take him out of his situation or change his situation. Now look at verse 9. Now he's praising God like God's people ought to praise him. In verse 9, Jonah said, there in the belly of the whale, he said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And I'll pay that I've owed. Salvation is of the Lord. But I want you to notice that first part. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That's praise. In our modern day Christianity, so many know so little about the praise that God wants. I mean, they talk a lot about it. But you know what most of the so-called praise that's called for today centers around? God has blessed me with all of this. I'm riding high. I'm on the mountain. Praise God. Can I just point out something very, very deep, profound, and theological to you? Verse 9 here comes before verse 10. If a lot of people were writing this, putting it in here themselves, see, the order God puts things in His Word is important. For the way many Christians live, they'd have to put what's said in verse 10 up there where verse 9 is. In other words, before there could be any praise, this would have to happen. Verse 10 says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah onto the dry land. Amen. Well, a lot of people would say, no, we got this backwards here. Jonah really, he gets let go, and then he begins to praise God. That's not the way that it works. Now, I want you to notice the way that he praised God. It's very specific. It says he praised him with a voice of thanksgiving. Now, this is a killer to a lot of people's lives or spirituality or Christianity. Getting out of where they are is they're not thankful. They're not thankful to God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 15, Paul said, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. God's people ought to be thanking God every day for His goodness. And what's really, really impressive here is where Jonah is giving thanks to God. Right there in his situation. In the belly of the whale. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, here he is in the belly of the whale praising God. Boy, God got him in that situation for a reason. So he could learn some things. He didn't leave him there to stay. But some things have to happen before he can come out of it. One's already happened. He's praying like he ought to pray. Now God is looking in and he finds him praising God like God's children ought to praise him. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. Jonah's not in there saying, oh, God, I thank you for this whale's belly. It's so nasty and dark, and oh, I thank you for it. No, he was being thankful in it. I mean, you break your leg, God doesn't expect you to look back at your leg and say, Lord, thank you for breaking my leg. But the Bible teaches us as Christians, we ought to be thankful to God in whatever circumstance or condition we're in. While we're in it, to still be thankful to God. Now, it's easy to praise God when you're living high on the hog. It's easy to praise God when all your bills are paid. It's not so easy when all your bills are due. And there's been more month than there is money. It's easy to praise God if you got two nice cars in your garage. Not as easy if you just got one clunker and it's broke down and you don't know how you're going to get to work. See, it's easy to praise God if you've got a good job. Maybe not as easy if you're having a hard time finding a job. It's easy to praise God when you're surrounded by people that love you. But if you're a believer and you're living in a state of loneliness, you go home from church and you don't go home to family and there's not people coming around and you're lonely. It's not so easy in those situations to praise God. I'm not impressed by people who can praising God when everything is just going great in their life. The ones that are impressive are the ones that are praising God in whatever situation that they're in. This is what Jonah had to learn. I'm telling you what, God's people, we can cut ourselves so short of God's blessing, be so displeasing to God through criticizing and belly aching and griping and moaning and groaning about everything in our life so that we won't give thanks to God. I was listening to a man the other day and he was talking about, in fact, it was one of the Republican candidates, it was Ben Carson, and he was talking about, I was impressed by this. I was impressed by his whole testimony. I mean, I'd vote for him for president, but I was impressed by his testimony. But I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for a bunch of good people we've got that are running for president this time. I'm thankful for it. We ought to all be thankful. I think we've got some real, genuine, true blue Christians running. Ben Carson said, he talked about how he and his wife had this house and they put it up for sale, and like people will do sometimes, they're depending on it to sell pretty quick, and it didn't sell for 5 years. And he thought, what is going on? We need to sell this. Everybody else, he said, we're in the midst of the building bubble. Everything's going gangbusters for selling real estate and houses. And our house is not selling and we need it to sell. He said it took 5 years. He was wondering about the situation. After 5 years, he got a buyer and got twice as much money as he was going to get, and found the absolute ideal piece of property. Now, here's the thing. It's called waiting on God and being thankful in the meantime for all of God's good. Just trust God and praise Him, whatever the situation. Now, he was praising God. Let me throw this in. I mentioned some people misunderstand parts of this account about Jonah in the fish's belly. Jonah is praising God because he realized that his situation, this fish that he was in, wasn't there to punish him. It was there to protect him. I used to read that, Brother John, and think about it all the time. Here's Jonah getting punished, that backsliding preacher and so on. That was good enough for him. He's getting his lesson. But that fish was not there primarily to punish him at all. It's right here in the text. It was to protect him. God put him in that situation to protect him. Look what's happening here. Just follow on with me just for another couple of minutes. Before we look at these verses, keep this in mind. Sometimes we think that God has allowed us to get into a certain situation because he wants to punish us, when what he really wants to do is protect us. We think he wants to hurt us. But what he really wants to do by putting us in this situation is help us. Now look at Jonah's testimony out of the belly of the whale. He's thinking back. He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He's going down, down, down in the sea. The earth with her bars was about me. Let me go back to verse 5. He says, the waters compassed me. They threw him into this tempestuous sea. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Here's this storm, this tempest, blowing up all this mire and debris from the floor of the sea and everywhere. And Jonah is in the process of drowning, and all of this seaweed is wrapping around his head. And in verse 6, he said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. You know what he's saying there, beloved? He's saying this. What I did, God spoke to me. I ran. I was rebellious, defiant. What I did, God should have killed me. I should have been killed. But instead, God sent me this fish. Amen. He said, I was drowning and sinking in the water. I was being strangled by the weeds. And God sent me this fish. He put me in this situation. Yeah, I said, I should have been killed. But you put me in this situation instead. He's praising God in the situation. Now, here's the last thing. It's real short. Jonah's just about ready to come out, because he's praying like he ought to be praying. He's almost ready to come out because he's praising like he ought to be praising. Just ask yourself the question, am I praying like I ought to be praying? Am I praising like I ought to be praising? It's right here. If you want to get out, here's the third thing God saw. He saw that Jonah was ready to pursue God's purpose in his life. Amen. Oh, he's ready to come out now. I can see that he's ready, because he's going to pursue my plan, my purpose for his life. So I'm going to take him out of that situation. Look at verse 3. Or chapter 3, verse 1. This is so good, beloved. This is so good. It makes me want to jump up and down. He said, and the word of the Lord came. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, there are a lot of people, Brother Joe, that want a second chance. There might be somebody here. You're ready to pull your pew up a little closer. Incline your head a little more. You're all ears now, because you're interested in that second chance. What a great God. Amen. Look at what Jonah did. God put him in a position, in a situation where he needed to be, where he could become what he needed to become, so God could bring him out. And the Lord spoke. He didn't have to, but he spoke unto him a second time. Makes me want to leap some pews, run some laps. Amen. He's ready now to pursue God's purpose. And I want you to notice this. In chapter 2, verse 10, Look at the way he came out. Oh, this really gets me. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the land. He comes out, Brother Clyde, covered with vomit. I mean, it can get real nasty when you're outside of God's will. Now, he'd gone through some stuff while he's outside of God's will. He had vomit, nastiness all over him. Sometimes you have to get in situations that get you a little messed up. And those situations are a little rough. But you have to get in them before you can come out of them like you need to come, like you need to come out. Now here's the point I want you to see in all this. God had the fish vomit him up. He said, okay, he's done now. And the fish vomits him up on dry land. And he's all covered with that stuff. I've been in a rough place. I've been messed up. Oh, we can see that. It's all over you. It needed to be seen. Amen. People need to see that God is the God of the second chance. And His children ought not to be embarrassed, ashamed, to let people know where God has brought them from. Amen. I love this old song. It says, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you'd know the reason why I love Him so. I've been through a mess. You can tell where I've been hasn't been all that pleasant. But God brought me out of all of that. He's ready to pursue God's purpose. He's ready now. There's something that He wanted to be seen. He wanted it. And there's also something He wanted to say. Because He's pursuing God's purpose. There's something God wants you to say. I wish I had a copy of the bulletin here. You look in the bulletin, I wrote a little article. Can't even remember the title, but there's something that people need to hear from you. He's ready now. In verse 2, God had something that He wanted said. He said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, what a difference now. Now that He's come out of this situation. He's changed. Verse 3 says, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, praising God all the way. He arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, get this. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Read it right here in the text. He says, 3 days' journey from here to Nineveh. But Jonah made it in one day. Amen. Because he was ready to pursue God's purpose in his life. That's the way it ought to be for every single one of us. There was something God wanted him to say, and he was ready to say it. Now, knowing what I know, which is nothing compared to what Jonah knew living in those times about Nineveh. I mean, this is a city that sacrificed their own people, human beings, by the thousands. They were really known among the cruel Babylonians, Chaldeans, Assyrians of that day as the most cruel of the cruel people. It's almost unbelievable, the cruelties. They were bad
pagan, wicked, demonic people. And Jonah, one of his problems was he just despised them till God changed him. Got him on the right road, and he had a problem. I think he had a problem with, I think it was so bad that Jonah didn't believe there was any chance in the world that people like those Ninevites would respond. But you know what happened? One of the very first ones to break down was the king. Covered himself in sackcloth and ashes. That's what we need to happen in Washington, D.C. That's what needs to happen in NATO with that bunch of pagans there. The king of Nineveh broke down, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and then he led all of his people to do the same thing. The most wicked, vile people on the face of the earth. But when they repented, God not only saved them, he sent a great revival.
Amen.
And it all happened because of this man, Jonah, as stubborn and froward as he was, God put him in a situation he had prepared for him to learn. He said, and when you're done, I'm looking for this and this and this. And when that happens, you'll be done. And I will take you out. Amen. Have you got a situation in your life? You know you do. Some of you know that you do. I've tried to give people formula after formula. Right out of God's Word. They work. Some people receive it. Some people don't. They stay right where they are. They're not done yet. But here's our God. Guess what he's doing today? He's giving you a second chance. You think God didn't love Jonah? He loved Jonah.
Amen.
Warts and all. He loved him. And God said, I'm going to speak to him a second time. You ever had God speak to you a second time? Oh, Lord, I don't believe I can ever be happy again. I feel like I'm done. God said, let me say something to you. Spoke to you a second time. That's the way God is. That's the way he works. Let's all stand together. Maybe you're here.